Hey folks, we've got an important day coming up this Sunday, and I trust and pray that if you have your dad with you, that you'll take some time, some opportunity to be able to spend time with your dad. For those of you whose dads have gone on to heaven, I trust and pray that God will provide you comfort along the way as you remember the good times that you had with your father and the very, very special meaning that he had in your life. So most of you know this coming Sunday is Father's Day, and we're going to take this time to celebrate our dads. I would be remiss if I didn't put our series on pause for this particular week so that we could look into the Word of God and see what the Word of God tells us about dads. So grab that Bible. We're actually going to be looking at one of my favorite passages in the Bible. This is we're going to talk about the prodigal's father today out of Luke chapter 15, verses specifically 11 through 32. Grab that Bible. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to this week's edition of the Wednesday Bible Study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your week has gone well and that God's going to bless you through the rest of this week. So I mentioned a moment ago that we're going to be celebrating something very special this coming Sunday, which is Father's Day. You know, my dad is in heaven, and I know, like me, a lot of you guys, that's what the case is. But I still celebrate Father's Day. I was very blessed to have a godly father in my life who raised me in the ways of the Lord. And we had a great relationship. And that's one of the things that I can say so proudly. The first thing is that I know I'm going to see him again. It's just a temporary hiatus because I know I'm going to have an opportunity to see him when I come in to the kingdom of heaven. So I mentioned a moment ago that we're going to look at one of my favorite biblical passages, one that deals with fathers and sons in the Word of God. So if you have your Bible, turn it over to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to go ahead and just share essentially this whole story with you. I know it's a little bit long, but it's actually verses 11 through 32 of Luke's Gospel and chapter 15. So without any further ado, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11, it says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse 15, then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry. Verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' Verse 28, but he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with harlots. You killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You know, it was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, we thank you for the days in which we celebrate. Lord, I pray for fathers all over the world today. Lord, I pray that they would understand the tremendous responsibility that has been placed on them to be able to raise their sons and daughters in your ways. And Lord, for those who are just coming to that realization, I pray that you will help and guide them along the way, Lord, as they work and strive to put you first, not only in their lives, but also in the lives of their children. Lord, bless our time. Use me as your speaker for these moments. Help us, Lord, to lift you up in a way pleasing to you. And Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, now most of us know this story. This is one that we have heard for many, many years, but it's one of my favorites because it really deals with family relationships. It deals with the son and his father, and we see some incredible qualities in this particular father. He's one of my favorite fathers in all the Bible, you know, and he was chosen by Jesus to illustrate the Heavenly Father and the way the Heavenly Father treats his children. Now, he must be, I guess you would say, the ideal earthly father for us to study as we consider Father's Day and qualities of what a good father should have. And when we think about this, and we think about this particular father, there's several things that we see about him. We see that he was a father of two sons who were prodigal for a time. Now, ironically enough, that there are people who are going to be listening to this broadcast today who you sit back and you're going to say, I know exactly what this guy is going through. I've had some wayward children. Most of the time, if there's more than one child, you know, one of them is an angel and one of them is not. Let's just put it that way. And they usually have different personalities. They go in completely different directions. So here was a father that we see in the Word of God who had two sons, and both of them essentially were prodigal for a while. We know what the younger son did, but then when you look at the older son there at the end of our text today, he was upset. I mean, he was uptight because of what his dad had done for the younger son, who had taken advantage of his father. Now, I want to put something out that's historic. There's something we need to know and understand about this passage that often is not preached when we look at it. For the younger son to do what he did in the early part of our text, it says that he went to his father and he said, basically, I want you to give me my inheritance. What that really meant was that he was wishing his father dead. Now, a lot of y'all may say, well, you know, I wouldn't go that far. Legally, back in that day, to do what this younger son did was for him legally to be pronouncing his father dead. So the father really didn't have to have anything whatsoever to do with him after that. And I'm sure that as that took place, the father was hurt. That some would say, well, I don't know if that was really his attitude or not. No, it may not have been, but that was the legality of it back in those particular days. Now, here was a father who was caring, a father who was loving. I'm sure that broke his heart that day that his younger son came to him and said, hey, look, I want you to give me my inheritance, and I just want to cut out of here. That's what I want to do. Well, you know, the father gave him exactly what he wanted, not because that's what he wanted to, what he wanted to do in his heart, but he also realized that, when somebody has made up their mind about something, you're not really going to change it. So we look at this father today in our text, who was a father of two sons who were prodigal for a time. The younger prodigal in choosing, the pleasures of sin, and the older was prodigal in choosing pride of self at the end of our text. Now, because the father was what he was, the prodigal became what he should be. Now, there's a lot to be said about that today. If you're a dad and you're listening to us today, you be what you should be in the eyes of the Lord. And what will happen is as you do that, then your children will become what they should be because you'll be doing the right things. You'll be training them in the right way. I always like that expression that people have said so often. They say, Well, children don't come with instruction books. Yes, they do. It's called the Word of God. Now, I get what people are saying when they say that, and you're right. I mean, if you've plowed into parenthood, that first child, you had no idea what you were doing, probably scared to death, and realizing that there was a life, a beating heart that depended on you for food and shelter and so many other things. But because this father in our text was what he was, the prodigal boys became what they should be. Okay, the younger son later on returns, and then the older. I'm sure he still had some issues, but the father pleaded with him. So let's take a look at this father for just a minute. Now, when we look at the section of these verses in verses 12 through 18, we find that this was a father that was approachable. You know, the text kind of seems to give us a little bit of family history without exactly saying it. But in this text, it seems apparently that the mother of the boys has died. She's not there. We don't see her anywhere in this story. Maybe she died at childbirth of the youngest son. We don't know. Perhaps this man had stood at the grave of his wife with these two boys, realizing the tremendous responsibility that he would have to raise them. And the text also indicates that there was some wealth to this family. Now, people would say, well, how are you getting that out of this particular scripture? Well, it says because they had servants. You know, you had to be more on the wealthy side to be able to have servants. So that would indicate that they were not in financial dire straits as a family, okay? So then we think about what the younger son's dreams were. You know, he may have laid in bed at night and been thinking about, you know, all of the things that the world has to offer, much like, you know, younger people today do, particularly in that age group of 16 to 18 years old. He's maybe laying in bed at night dreaming, but what he's dreaming of is he's dreaming of the far country. What was it like? You know, what was it like to go to the big city, not be a farmer? What was it like to enjoy some of the things that I see and hear about from other folks? You know, now when we think about this, you know, if some people were sitting there in this younger son's case, then you might have said, hey, I'm going to go to the far country. You may have packed your stuff up and you may have slipped away, you know, at night and just run away without anybody knowing it, okay? Some, you know, might have asked another person. It's like, hey, man, you know Dad pretty good. I want you to go to Dad on my behalf, kind of intercede for me so that I can break the news to him and get what I want. But yet, that was not the case of this younger son. This younger son feels free to come right out and say to his father what it is that he wants. He goes right up to him and he says, you know, Pops, look, you know, the farm, it's all cool and everything. Thanks for all you've done. I would prefer that you go ahead and give me my inheritance and peace out. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the far country and I'm going to enjoy all that life has to offer. You know, so many times I think about the classic Christmas show that had George Bailey in it. You remember that one? And George Bailey always wanted to get out of this place. He wanted to shake the dust off of his feet and go on to bigger and better things. Okay, that's what I kind of picture in this son. By the way, having ambition is not a problem. But understanding that there's timing in everything means a whole lot. But yet it says this, it says that the father granted him his wish. He said, okay, I'm going to give you your inheritance, as I mentioned earlier, probably very hurt over this situation. And the younger son goes off into this far country. And the word tells us this, it says that he blew his inheritance on riotous living. Now, you don't have to be a wordsmith to understand what was taking place here. This younger son had blown his money on fun and harlots and everything else to the point where he had absolutely nothing at all. You know, maybe that point when he was at home lying in his bed, he dreamed of great tasks, but what he found out in the world was great temptation. Maybe he dreamed of great adventure to go out into the far country, but instead what he found was agony. Yeah, maybe he dreamed of prestige, but instead what he found was poverty. Maybe he dreamed of romance, but instead what he found was rags. Maybe he dreamed of happiness, but instead what he found was himself feeding the hogs of another master, okay? But yet, this father was an approachable father. Yeah, even from the pig pen. So fast forward a little bit. The younger son has gone out. He's blown everything on riotous living. He can't even make, he can't make ends meet. He has no place to stay. He has no food to put into his stomach. And he takes a job feeding the hogs. And it's very interesting that the word says that that there's a very good chance that he was eating the pig slop with the pigs just so that he would have something to put into his stomach. It said he desired the pods that the pigs ate. Now, I've slopped a few hogs in my day. Now, it just gives me the willies thinking about that. So then all of a sudden what happens is in the pig pen, and I love this line. It says, in the pig pen, he came to himself. He had that moment once again of reality, of connection. Yeah, maybe today some of you need to come to yourself. Maybe this is the day that that happens or that takes place. Maybe this is the day that you finally be truthful with yourself as to where you are versus where you need to be. Maybe today is the day that you will be truthful and say, Lord, this is not where I'm supposed to be. This is not what you want for me. And Lord, I need your help, but I'm coming home. I'm coming home to you. But when we think about the attitude of this younger son to his father, he realized that his father was approachable even while he was in the pig pen. Because he says this, he says, I will arise and go to my father. The interesting thing is that this younger son knew where to go for help. He knew who could solve his issues. He also knew that based on what he had done, he was unworthy by which to do so. But he was desperate. And folks, desperate times call for desperate measures. So he says from the pig pen, I will arise and I will go to my father. Now, there's another quality that we see in this father as well today. This was a father who in his son's mind was associated with heaven. If you want to take a quick peek at verse 18, you'll see that. Yeah, he begins to rehearse. I love this. As he gets up from the pig pen, he finally says, enough is enough. I've had this. I'm going to go home. Because in his mind, he said this. He said, even the servants in my father's house have it better off than I am. Now, knowing what he had done by essentially claiming his inheritance, and legally, he was no longer categorized as a son of this nobleman, he said this. He said, you know what? I'm just going to go ask Dad for a job. He said, because even the servants that work for my daddy have it better off than what I have right now. In his heart, he was saying, I don't deserve to be his son anymore, but man, I need a job. And I'm just going to go to Dad, and I'm just simply going to ask him for a job. And he was rehearsing this as he made the journey from the hog pen to the father. He was rehearsing this in his heart. He was rehearsing this in his mind, what he would say to his father. And he was rehearsing it a little bit to the tune of this. It says, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Yeah, he realized he had sinned against the heavenly father. I have sinned against heaven and before you. He said, not only have I sinned against heaven, I have sinned against you. Yet when he thought of heaven, this son, when he thought of heaven, he thought of his father. He knew what a good and godly man he was. When he thought of his father, he thought of heaven. Those two were synonymous in this younger son's mind. He could not be reminded of God without remembering his dad. You know, it's funny because as I sit back, that's what I think about. My dad was always a godly man. I was so grateful to be raised in a godly home. And when I think about heaven, I think of my dad. When I think about my dad, I think about heaven. This prodigal's father surely was a man who walked with God. He saw the influence that his dad had on him. Sometimes we get to the point where we don't realize what we have until we don't have it anymore. But what an impression. Yeah, his son could not escape that visual impression of his godly father. Dads, let me ask you something. Is that what your children think about you when they look at you? Is your name synonymous with heaven when your children think about it? And then we see the condition of this father after the son left. This was a father that was at prayer. This was a father that was in devotions, and he had a reverent walk. You know, his father was a godly man, but are we following that example? Are our children seeing that in us? But we also see something else. We see in this passage a father who was affectionate. Just for reference, verse 20 says that he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But before we get to that point, here's something we need to understand. As the prodigal was returning home, it says that the father saw him a great ways off. You know why he saw him? Because he'd been looking for him since the day he left. He was looking and hoping and praying for his return, his safe return. He was praying that the world wouldn't gobble him up and that would be the end of it. But he prayed and he sought God. And it's interesting, it says that when he saw him, he ran. It says he ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. Another little interesting tidbit, historical tidbit. This man was a nobleman. The father was a nobleman and they didn't run. But yet this says that he ran and fell on his son's neck and kissed him. Now, I just want to go on record to say this. It is nonsense in our society today that manhood calls for coldness. It does not. Listen, affection is an incredible thing. Now, it's all right. You know, there's people in my life, and I'll look at them, and I'll say, look, man, I love you. A brotherly love, a philos love, a love towards one another. And I mean that with all my heart. I'll say, hey, listen, man, be safe. I love you. Be careful. I'll say that to my son. I'll say that to my wife. I'll say, hey, look, man, I love you. And I mean that with all my heart. So I want to go on record today to say it's nonsense that people's definition in 2026 of manhood calls for some sort of coldness. No, I can only imagine what it must have been like in this biblical scenario, what the look on this father's face was as he was running to his son. I can imagine the shock in the young son's mind, seeing his dad running toward him. Why? The father had been watching for him. I like what C.H. Spurgeon actually said as the father ran out to meet the son. Spurgeon said he was out of breath, but he was not out of love. All right. Now let's consider the son's returning. Here's what you got to see. The time away made no difference. You know, when the father got to the son, he threw his arms around him. He kissed him and he was excited that his son was back. The time away didn't make any difference. The father didn't go up and say, I told you so. I figured this is the way that it would turn out. No, he didn't do any of that. Let me tell you something else that didn't matter. The smell of the swine and the hog pen made no difference whatsoever to this father. I am sure that this young prodigal son was in pretty bad shape in a bunch of different ways. And when you've been hanging out with the hogs, you'll take on the same sense of smell that they have. And yet the father throws his arms around him, his loving arms around, made no difference the fact that he was disheveled. It made no difference to the fact that he was broke. It made no difference to the fact that he probably smelled like the hog pen. It made no difference that the clothes that he wore were rags at that particular point. And let me tell you something else that didn't matter to the father either. It didn't matter that the son had empty pockets. It didn't matter that he had gone out and blown all of his inheritance on riotous living. You know, the father wasn't sitting back, you know, giving him a lecture about what took place. He was just glad that he was home. Yeah, he didn't sit back and say, well, legally, you're not allowed to be, you know, part of the family anymore. You know, he didn't even have to say his little speech, you know, to his dad. No, he did, you know, but his son is home. And for the father, the good father, the son's home. That's all that matters. He's back. Okay. And then here was a father who, when the son took his little speech and he goes, Father, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned against you. And he's basically going to ask for a job. And dad, I need a job. Make me like one of the servants. That's not what his dad said. I don't think his dad was even paying attention to what he was saying at that point, because what his dad was saying is he's calling the servants and he's saying, listen, go out and kill the fatted calf. Go get a robe and put it on his back. Go get a ring and put it on his finger, because my son who was lost is now found. He didn't say, my son who used to be my son, who went away and blew all of my inheritance, has come back home. I wonder what he wants now. Now, he didn't say any of that. He said, my son that was lost is now found. Go kill the fatted calf. Go get a robe, get a ring, put it on his finger. My son, that's how he referred to him. And just like him, this young son went to the father, and he took the problems that he had to his dad. In the same manner, we need to do that with God our Father. Today, I'm just going to ask you simply this. If you are in the position of that prodigal son, you've messed up. Listen, we've all messed up. Last time I checked, we're all sinners saved by grace, and the Word of God tells us that that's exactly what we are. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But yet, through His love and through His grace and through repentance, there can be restoration. Now, I pray that if you find yourself in that situation like this younger prodigal son, I pray that today is the moment that you come to yourself. You might be in the hog pen, but I pray that you will come to yourself, and I pray that you will pick yourself up out of the hog pen and that you will head back to our Heavenly Father. The one thing I can promise you is this. If you do that, He not only will be waiting for your return, He, like this father in our text today, will run out and greet you. He will run out and meet you. And He's not interested in hiring you back as a servant. He's interested in His son who was lost coming back home and being found again. All it takes is the first step. Would you do that today? Man, what a blessing it is to know that even when we get prodigal like these two sons of this nobleman, that God is there. Even when we've messed up and we've messed up really bad, He is there to not only receive us coming home, but to run out and to greet us. Do you need to return today? I pray that if you are wayward and the Holy Spirit is chastening you, that you'll have your hog pen experience. And that's the time when you come to yourself and you begin to head back to the Father. Is that something that that you can do? I pray it is. That's what the Lord's calling you to do right now. Is that something that's possible? Sure it is. If you will only take the steps, just like the son. Nobody forced him into doing that, but he said, the servants of my daddy's house have it better than I do. He's remembering what he was as a son. Maybe you're remembering what it's like to be in the good keeping of God the Father. You don't lose your salvation. You never walked away from it. But you walked away from your bedroom. You walked away from your place at the table. You walked away from all of the goodness that God is providing for His children. And now you're remembering what you walked away from, and you want to come back home. Well, the door is open. The Father is watching. The Father is waiting. Will you return to Him? Listen, let me pray with you as we close our time together today. Father, You're good to us. And Lord, as I come to You now, I want to thank You that I had the privilege of having a good godly father in my life who taught me about You, who taught me about Your ways. Now, Lord, that doesn't make myself or any of the rest of us perfect. Lord, we've had our wayward times. We've had our prodigal days. But Lord, I pray that for those that are listening today, if they find themselves in the hog pen, that this will truly be the day that, as Your word says about this prodigal son, the day that they come to themselves and realize that it's time to go home. Lord, all they got to do is get up and take that first step back in Your direction. And not only will You receive them, Lord, You will run out and greet them and meet them. And Lord, You will be telling everyone, kill the fatted calf, get a robe, get a ring. My son who was lost is now found. Lord, I pray this would be true in the hearts and the minds of each and every listener today. And Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, folks, listen, thank you for taking the time to join us. Now, I mentioned a little bit early in our Bible study that I actually took a little hiatus. We have one more message in our series, our Wednesday series that we are looking at. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you what those passages are. I told you last week, but I didn't want to skip out on having something to say about Father's Day, since Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. But at any rate, let me see if I can find the right. I have several different Wednesday series here that I'm working on getting planned as we go forward. But the last one in the series that we're dealing with right now, which I titled Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull, this week I want you to spend some time in Acts chapter 2. That's Acts chapter 2. And when we gather next week, we're going to talk about a community that reflects Christ. And we'll be using Acts chapter 2, specifically verses 42 through 47. And that's how we're going to conclude that particular series that we've been spending time in on kingdom culture. So Acts chapter 2, I pray you'll be read up. I pray that you will join us next week for that Wednesday Bible study. Listen, happy Father's Day to all the dads. As always, we invite you to join us for our Sunday services. They start at 10:45 a.m. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North. Tim was telling me that I had gotten the address wrong the other day. Listen, there's a web or a website there. It's listed on your screen. Click there. That doesn't mess up. But at any rate, 1715 Highway 68 North, Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We would love to have you as part of our church family to worship in spirit and in truth. Happy Father's Day, guys. We'll see you later. ¶¶